Now, we're in actually our 10th week at looking at Romans. We have broken it up a little bit and we're going to continue on. Last week, Paul gave an amazing message around Romans 6. Today, we're doing another big chunk on Romans 7. So it's a big chunk of scripture, big chunk of the Bible there. But let me say, this is actually one of those really honest and raw passages of the Bible. Has anybody ever been frustrated with their own shortcomings in their life? There's a couple of people who said, yep. Well, guess what? This passage speaks to you. If you've ever been wondered why you do something that you know that is wrong, this message is for you. And here's the Apostle Paul, and this is what I love about this passage. Here's the Apostle Paul, and he's somebody that has planted churches. He's somebody that is writing to churches to encourage them. I actually did see the other day a little video, a little short about the Apostle Paul and his letters. And it's like the Apostle Paul and there's a person standing there that represents the church. And just about everyone, the Apostle Paul comes up and goes, whack, 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 you silly person. It's kind of like Paul's going to most of the churches, you've just done something wrong. Change your ways. And here's this really honest and raw piece that is coming from Paul. It's saying that even though he is one that is following in Christ, even though he is one that is encouraging all these churches to do the right thing, he's going, I myself am struggling. And I think this is so honest and raw for us that we can take something out of this today. See, the Apostle Paul, the Holy Spirit is speaking through him about his own struggles with sin and ultimately about what is being pointed to, the salvation that we have through Christ. So let's open our hearts, our own hearts, to the Holy Spirit today as we discover together how we can find freedom in the midst of our own struggles of faith, in our own struggles of life. And I want to share with you three things. It's a sermon. It's got three things. And guess what? There's going to be three applications. Good old sermon stuff. But there we go. Three things I want to share with you. The first is this. I'm going to start from verse 7. So, and the reason I'm doing that is because that whole section from verse 7 through to 25 is kind of this big thought piece. But that little piece beforehand is setting the framework about this piece about the law. But Paul's actually going, he's weaving all of this in, and he's been weaving all of that about the answer is Christ. And you actually got to go move to Christ and Christ alone. And so he's weaving that all the way through all of Romans. So here, Paul begins by actually addressing this really common misunderstanding at the time that they had, and especially through his argument that he's been having. And the question is the law itself sinful? And if we, you know, and his looking at this, the law actually reveals our sinful nature. But you know, he's asking this question: is the law sinful? Let me put up the little section for you. It's from Romans 7, verse 7, and it says this: well, then, am I suggesting that the law of God is sinful? He asks this question. You know, all of this lead up to this, and he goes, of course not. In fact, it was the law that showed me my sin. Now, this is actually really an interesting point. So Paul's not trying to get rid of the law. He's not trying to just say that all of those, it's not sinful, it's not evil, it's not causing me to sin. Paul is actually saying that the law of God that has been written, that the Jewish people have been following, is like a mirror. It actually shows you the reality of your heart, your life, and what you've been doing. So before the law, before the people knew the law, and this is what you know Paul was saying, we might not actually recognize that certain attitudes or actions as being sinful. So if you don't know that they're wrong, how do you know that they are wrong? Let me say that again. If you don't know something is wrong, how do you actually know that that is actually wrong? So if you don't know what God wants us to do, how do you know what is sinful? And see, the thing is, when we know God's commands for our lives, it actually shines a light into our lives and we can actually see more clearly for ourselves. Now, I want you to imagine, you know, we're just talking about how it's a mirror to our life. I want you to imagine that you've been working all day out in the garden. Any gardeners here? Anybody that just likes to get a chainsaw and just cut everything down? There's a couple of people around here. That's the kind of gardening that, you know, works really well until all the weeds come up from what you've cut down. But you just think for a moment, you've been out there, you've been doing all this work, whether it's gardening, whether it's whatever it is. You walk in and you might feel, oh, fantastic day's work. And you're going, how wonderful. And you think, I'm looking really fine. And then you walk by the mirror and you see the dirt all over you. You know, they see the dirt on the hands, you see the dirt on your face because you rubbed your face with your dirty gloves and everything else. The mirror didn't make you dirty. Notice that? The mirror didn't make you dirty. It actually revealed what was already there. It's the same when we think about God's law. God's law is not making us sinful. It's actually exposing the sin that is already lurking inside of us. Paul goes on and he says in verse 13, he says, but how can that be? Did the law, which is good, cause my death? Of course not. Sin used what was good to bring about my condemnation to death. So we can see how terrible sin really is. It uses God's good command for its own evil purposes. See, the point is clear here. The law itself is good. But what happens is the sin twists even what is good to bring about spiritual death. This is what Paul's talking about. And he's especially talking about those, the Jewish believers who have the law, that know the law, but still sin. The law helps us to recognize the true depth of our brokenness that we have in ourselves. It confronts us with the reality that on our own, we fall short of God's standards. And here's what's important, and I want you to take this. You can't seek a solution until you actually recognize there is a problem. Let that sink in for a moment. Until you actually know there is a problem, you're actually never going to look for a solution to this. And this goes for so many things in our lives that are broken, that have problems and issues. We actually need to know that there is a problem before you can go about fixing that. It's about being honest to yourself, and I'm honest to yourself that there is something going on that you want to correct. See, what the law does is it opens us up to an honest self-examination of who we are. And it's that willingness to admit that I am a sinner. I am a sinner in need of God's grace that we find ourselves. And that's where Paul is wanting people to realize that the law is there so that we may see in ourselves what is sinful. So that's the first thing, a recognizing, seeking a solution because you've actually seen a problem. The second point I want to bring up that comes from verse 14 through to 20 is this, is that there is a battle between the flesh and the spirit. And Paul actually describes this internal struggle that every believer faces. And he writes in Romans 7, verses 18 and 19, and he puts it this way. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. What a real honest self-reflection. I want to ask you, in your own honesty, have you ever felt that same way? And I want to say, I have. You know, I want to say, I struggle with that time and time again. We want to honor God. We have good intentions. We want to honor God with our lives. We honor God with our behaviors and what we do. We want to honor God with going, oh, I'm going to read the Bible more. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to tithe more. I'm not going to do this behavior. I'm not going to go down and do this. And we want to do this. but we find ourselves slipping back into old habits. So often we react in anger. We give in to temptation. We fail to do what we know is right in God's eyes. And Paul is actually describing the battle between the flesh, the old sinful desires, those things that you did knowing, you know, before you knew what the Lord was, before you knew what was right and wrong. Can we fall back into that? And he's describing the battle between that fleshful old desires and what God's Spirit is telling us to do and tapping into what the Holy Spirit is helping us. And it's the new desires as a believer that what we want to do is put faith into Christ. And I want to say this, even though we have faith in Christ, we are still going to struggle with temptation. We're still going to struggle with sin because the Christian life is a journey. It's a process of daily learning how to walk by the Holy Spirit and follow God's path. And I want to put this little statement up for you. Because, you know, here's the thing. Often when we think that, oh, I'm struggling, I'm failing, I'm not doing well in my own spiritual journey and, you know, I've fallen back into temptation. And we often look and go, oh, that person over there has got it all together. And I think that's what the church, the early church was thinking about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, he's got it all together. And here he's being honest and raw about his own issues, about how he's not, you know, and he, later on in scripture, he talks about the thorn in his own side. And see, the thing is, the struggle that we have is a sign that God is actually working in us. Let that sink in for a moment. The struggle that we have is actually that God is working in us. See, if we're not struggling to do what is right, what has happened? We've given in to the temptation. We've given in to the sin. We've given in to the pattern of behavior that is not there because we are always wanting to do more. The struggle is honest. The struggle is real. It is God working within us. And if you feel the tension that Paul is describing, take heart. It means that you are spiritually alive because the dead don't struggle. It is the living who wrestle. How strong, how powerful is that? My third point that from this section of scripture, from this passage of the Bible, that deliverance comes only through Jesus Christ. Paul's words build to a desperate cry in verse 24, where he actually says this, "Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death?" He's crying out at this, and Paul realizes that despite his best efforts, he actually can't rescue himself from this power of sin. He doesn't leave it in despair. We hear what he says, and he says this, "Thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord." Deliverance doesn't come from trying harder, following more rules, mustering up more willpower. True freedom comes from Jesus Christ. See, Christ lived that perfect life that we could live. He conquered the power of sin and death so that we might live. And when we place our faith in him, he gives us a new heart, a new spirit. He gives us the Holy Spirit in our lives who empower us to live a new life. You know, as we explore the next chapter, we're going to explore what that new life and that empowerment's going to be. Because there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. See, our hope is not in our performance. It's in the finished work of Christ within us. So I said I want to share three quick applications of what can we do out of this passage. What does it mean for our life? The first practical one is embrace honest self examination. Yeah, Paul did it. Let God's word examine your heart. When you see sin exposed, don't run from it. Don't make excuses about it. Confess it to God. In 1 John 1, verse 9, there's a promise. I encourage you to read it. And you'll hear it often in churches. If we confess our sins, God is faithful. He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to clean us from all wickedness. See, honest confession of the sins that we have is the first step to true freedom, freedom in Christ. It's actually that honest self-examination, embracing that, confessing our sins to God, and God forgives us of those things. The second application is this: acknowledge your dependence on Christ. You cannot win the battle against sin in our own strength. Surrender your struggles to Jesus each day. Pray for the Holy Spirit's power to say no to what is going on in your flesh and say yes to God. Remember, Christ has already won the victory for you. It's actually about willingness to walk in that freedom. Christ has already done it. Walk in God's will for our lives. So, the first two has been about how we look at ourselves, being honest to that, being dependent on Christ. The third one, is actually we're in it all together. So encourage one another in our struggles. If you're going well in your walk, look around. If people are being honest in their own self-examination, they'll be struggling. They'll be going, there's something in my life that I want to overcome. I want to have the power of God to get rid of. There'll be that thorn in the side. Don't just say it's going to be okay and like sweep it under the carpet. Paul's honesty reminds us that the Christian life is not about pretending to have it all together. Because every believer, let me say, every believer wrestles with sin. So let's be a community where we actually support each other, praying for one another, having each other's back, pointing them towards Jesus. Because we don't walk this journey alone. We walk it together. So in conclusion, Romans 7 actually shows us the reality of the struggle that we have within. But it doesn't leave us in defeat. It points us to the hope and freedom found only in Christ Jesus. The law reveals our need, and that struggle humbles us, but Christ delivers us. So let's confess where we are struggling today. Surrender daily to Christ and walk together as a family of faith, knowing that Jesus Christ is actually the answer, the way. So let's just take this moment. I'm just going to invite the band up just to come and just give us a little bit of quiet, reflective music for a moment. Let's just take this moment. We've just heard what it means to honestly reflect about what's going on in our lives. So I want you just to take this moment and put yourself into a comfortable position to just really experience God's presence in your life, but to reflect on what your life has been doing. Where are your struggles? If that means having your hands open, if that means having your hands on the lap, if that means having your eyes open or eyes closed, take that moment. I'm going to open up with a little word of prayer, and then I want you to just really let God's Holy Spirit work in you, examine you, open up to where we are sinful. Lord God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks that your word, your law, shows us the life that we should be living, shows us what we should be doing, Lord, today as we are here and we're hearing your word found in Romans chapter 7, it talks about how we are sinful, what sin is in our life, what things that we are succumbing to. It talks about that real struggle in our lives. So, Holy Spirit, we ask that you come upon us today, come upon me, come upon the people here today. Speak into their lives. Show them where they are struggling, what area of their life is sinful and against your law. Encourage you now that as that stirring in your heart, stirring in your mind has happened, take what is stirred up, what God has shown you right now, and just say, Lord, I confess this sin. And say it in your heart and ask for God's forgiveness right now for what has been shown to you. Lord God, you are powerful, you are loving, you are our Lord. We confess our sins so we know that you are true and just and you forgive our sins. Oh Lord God, today may we walk truly in your footsteps. May we be willing to see what is going on in our lives and may we become more like you in every way, every means. May we truly become more like Jesus Christ in our lives and our attitudes. May we put aside those things. But Lord, may we be true in the struggle to always become more like you. Our Lord, we just ask this in the glory and the power of Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. Amen.